A spotlight shines on a man standing on stage at a theatre.
A little bit of love is a luxury. That's what people say. And girls just long for a little bit of love at the close of day. Now there's nothing like a little bit of loving if you take it in a quiet sort of way. So just take my tip, if you're going for a trip, never mind what people say. What you like, I like, we all like, it never does you any harm.
Jesse Wallace, like, Richard Armitage, Sean Parks, Lee Williams, Amanda Root, Matthew Marsh, Angus Barrett, Tom Payne, Miss Murray Lloyd, Queen of the Music Hall.
You like what I like, a little love now and then.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Queen of the Musicals, Miss Murray Lloyd!
Is everybody happy?
That's your life, we are.
A coffin is carried through the streets of Hoxton, London, 1879. Two children look on. The coffin is on a cart and is wrapped in black cloth. A handful of red roses have been placed on top of it. One of the mourners goes to the children and gives them some money.
Oh, dear child.
How much?
2 shillings.
Let's go buy some sweets, Dylan.
No, Freddy.
Got a better idea.
Go on, you got 5 minutes.
The girl and boy watch from the edge of a stage where ballerinas dressed in fairy wings and laced-up bodices melt into the spotlights. As they spin and dance on their points, the theatre audience applaud appreciatively. The little girl watches with an awestruck expression. Now, a young woman with jet black hair is standing backstage at a busy theatre where performers are bustling around. Holding some sheet music in her hands, she looks overcome by her surroundings and watches as a short man in black white striped tights and clown shoes practices a tap routine.
That's Little Fitch, for obvious reasons. Are you here to audition?
Yes!
That's you, isn't it?
Yes, that is.
This your first time?
Me?
You've never been on stage before, have you?
Of course I have.
The woman tentatively heads through a door and up some steps onto the stage of a small theatre. A man at a piano watches her while another concentrates on eating his dinner.
Bloody hell.
Name?
Beg pardon?
Name. Name? Not that difficult, is it?
No, I just happen to have not quite heard. Miss Bella Delamere?
Illuminate my day with the lightness of your voice, little Miss Songbird.
Beg pardon?
Sing! Sing! Sing!
She hands her music to the pianist while the auditioner scoffs his food.
The boy I love is up in the gallery. The boy I love is waving down at me. There he is, can't you see? Waving his handkerchief as merry as a robin that sings on a tree.
Thank you!
Thank you for what?
Thank you for coming. Good night! Night!
Looking a little upset, she takes her music and heads off stage. Outside, A man is waiting for her.
Well? Well, come on, Sil, tell me. How'd you get on?
They love me.
Oh, well, who wouldn't, eh?
I just weren't what they were looking for.
But they're so used to the chaff that when the weed turns up...
Maybe I'm not as good as you think I am. I should stick to curly feathers.
Oi, you never give up. As your best pal, I'm telling you. You give up, you failed.
2 shillings and sixpence?
Are you going to leave it?
I'd have to leave it, Mr. Belafonte.
How dare you just walk out and leave me short of a girl? 2 and 6 is more than enough for you to be standing on a stage and hoping about it!
Excuse me, Mr. Belafonte.
What?
I've seen the Dolly Sisters act. I know what they do.
So?
Beg your pardon, Miss Bella Delamere, at your service. I'm a dancer. Now, it's not normally in my nature to talk disrespectful of my fellow artists.
Well, what are you going on about?
I'll bloody do it for 2 and a half, Bob. You've just found yourself your missing Dolly Sister.
Was proposed to by Obadiah Biggs in a very gentlemanly way. Lent him all me money so that he could buy the ring punctually at 12 o'clock today. There was I, waiting at the church, waiting at the church.
Dancing happily in the trio, Tilly is pushed away by the woman singing the lead.
The lurch. Laura, it did upset me.
Looking annoyed, Tilly shoves a note in the lead singer's hand, then runs off stage to steal a large turban from the next act. She shoves it up her dress so that she looks pregnant.
Today, my wife won't let me. There was I, waiting at the church, waiting at the church, waiting at the church.
Audience cheer and whoop as Tilly continues to take her vows after the other two performers have left the stage. A man in the balcony smiles at her and tips his hat. She beams back at him, then returns the turban to the next act.
You little cow!
Do.
You stole the limelight when you're part of the chorus. It's not on. When you're part of the chorus, you play your part, just like everyone else.
Well, I don't want to be like everyone else. Didn't let you down, did I, sir?
What? No, it was fine.
You were brilliant.
Did you hear them all laughing?
All eyes were on you.
Blue wants to play the bridesmaid, well, you can play the bride.
Oh, you were certainly the belle of the ball.
Ignore it.
It's the well-dressed man from the balcony.
I'm Percy Courtney.
Are you indeed?
And I just wondered if the belle of the ball would care for a little refreshment after such exertions.
So, have you been dancing on the horse for long, Miss Delamere?
No, Mr. Courtney, I'm a novice. I'd like to make a career out of it, but it's not easy, is it?
Well, you need to know the right people, don't you?
Like you, I suppose. And what do you do, Mr. Courtney?
My profession?
Well, you know Drayman, are you, by the looks of those hands?
I invest on the market.
What, fruit and veg?
Stocks and shares.
He buys her a single red rose from a flower seller.
And you think I'm the type of girl that'd fall for a single rose?
The boy I love.
Or something.
Really? Damned if I can see it.
Thank you.
She smiles at him, then they clink their glasses.
So what do you think's the place?
It's lovely here, isn't it?
You It is tonight. Here. With you.
Flatterer.
You've got wit. Sparkle. We've got 5 minutes on Monday night.
I'm glad you agreed to see me again, Miss Delamere. And I hope to see you a lot more often.
No, you won't.
Oh.
But you can see Miss Tilly Wood if you like.
Tilly who?
Bella Delamere's my stage name. I made it up. Nice, though, don't you think? Sophisticated.
You should call yourself something more memorable.
Like what?
Something simple.
Charmed, I'm sure. Well, I ain't having Tilly Wood.
Why not?
She's far too common, isn't she? What name would you suggest?
What about Marie? What about Mari?
Mari? Yeah. Mari what?
The waiter drops a box of Lloyd's matches on the table. Percy has waved his handkerchief at her. She parades across the stage, brimming with happiness at the applause and Percy's attention. In her dressing room to her brother.
No one's ever given me a rose before, Freddie.
Freddie watches as Tilly, sitting at her dressing table, gently places the rose in a velvet-bound book and squashes it closed. Backstage.
So, it's Marie Lloyd now, is it?
Yep, and don't she sing nice?
I'll give you 10 shillings a performance and a regular spot. Monday night.
Oh, I think you've missed the boat. I'm already booked on a Monday at the Royalty in Bethnal Green.
Shawcross. How much is he paying you?
12 shillings and sixpence.
I'll give you 13.
I don't think she can let Mr. Shawcross down.
No, he's a very important man.
15 shillings and sixpence.
Done.
Magnificent.
Clever girl. You shouldn't be allowed.
There she is. Miss Mari Lloyd of London, a common thief.
Is that with you?
That song. It's mine.
Which song?
The only bleeding song in your act worth singing. The boy in the gallery. I own the rights.
Oh, I'd no idea. I bought the words and music from Oxton Market, honest.
You can't just get up and sing somebody else's material.
What'd you pay for it? £2, £3?
For a song like that? You need to keep up with the times, young man. That's a £5 song.
Percy hands some money to the woman.
Thank you. I am slightly mollified. Never say Miss Nellie Powers, songbird with a like comet patter. Doesn't want to help those lower down the bill than herself.
I'm sure.
Tilly and Percy are with a piano player.
That's your lot.
We'll take all six.
That'll be £18, sir.
Thank you.
Morning promenade, quite a fashion card on the promenade. Now I don't mind nice boys staring hard if it satisfies their desire. Do you think my dress is a little bit, just a little bit, not too much of it? And if it shows my shape just a little bit, that's the little bit the boys admire.
Percy and Freddie seem lost for words.
It's very good.
Really? Mm. Percy?
Good.
Didn't like it?
It just needs to feel more
You didn't like it?
You didn't seem relaxed.
It was good. It was good. You just need to give more.
Give more? What does give more mean?
You need to let the audience know that you're enjoying yourself.
You need to flirt with them.
And then, well, they can enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
On stage, Tilly, now transformed into Mari, is wearing a frilly white corseted dress with a low neckline. She's hiding nervously from the audience behind a white parasol.
Since Mother Eve in the garden long ago started a fashion, fashion's been a passion. Eve wore a costume we might describe as brief. Still every season brought a change of leaf. She'd stare if she could come to town. Now what would Mother Eve think of my new Parisian gown? When I take my morning promenade, quite a fashion guard on the promenade. Now I don't mind nice boys staring hard if it satisfies their desire. Do you think my dress is a little bit, just a little bit, not too much of it? And if it shows my...
She hitches up her skirts in time to the chorus.
See the girls in the prehistoric days, each wore a bearskin to cover up their fair skin. Lately Salome has charmed us to be sure, wearing just a row of beads and not much more. Fancy me dressing like that too. I'm sure the Daily Mirror man would love an interview. When I take my morning promenade, quite a fashion card on the promenade. Now I don't mind nice boys staring hard if it satisfies their desire. Do you think my dress is a little bit, just a little bit, not too much of it? And if it shows my shape just a little bit, that's a little bit of boys admire.
She waves and curtsies to the audience, blowing some of them a kiss. Headlines in the newspaper read, Miss Mari Lloyd, a hit with the gentleman, and everyone's favourite.
Mari Lloyd has an exceptionally quick ear for both pitch and rhythm.
Let me sing first.
Her step dancing is perfectly punctuated with revealing displays of silk drawers frilled below the knees. She's much appreciated by both sexes.
You've been admired, Tilly.
It's Mari. Tilly's dead. They liked me, didn't they, Purse? One day I want to be top of the bill, Friday and Saturday nights.
I think they love me.
I could blame them.
So, Mr. Percy Courtney, where do we go from here?
A man wearing a top hat is watching them and puts an ice cube in his drink. Mari and Percy are kissing sweetly and slowly on the lips. He tenderly undoes the top button of her blouse. He moves lower to kiss her neck. Then Mari grins as they settle on a bed and kiss again. Percy gazes down at her as they make love. Percy dips his razor into a bowl and carefully drags it over his cheek. Mari is watching.
It's your fault. What are we going to do?
He smiles and turns to her.
My father used to say, where there's a problem, there's a solution.
Girls have died doing that. I've heard. Don't think I haven't.
Well, maybe that wasn't the solution that I had in mind.
What are you staring at?
You.
Why, what's wrong with me?
Nothing. You're beautiful. Make a wish and blow.
She blows on his fist, and he opens his hand to reveal a ring. She stares at it in amazement, and Percy smiles at her as she takes the ring.
You'll say yes, won't you?
She beams up at him, and his smile spreads. Mari hurries through the music hall excitedly and smiles at Freddy, who's ironing some costumes.
What's up with you?
Nothing's up with me. Except... It's a big thing, isn't it, getting married?
Oh, my God. Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. Ain't you going to congratulate me?
I don't know.
Why not?
You tell me.
I'm marrying him because I want to. It's as simple as that. Mr. Percy Courtney. I love him.
Well, that's all that matters then. Congratulations.
After the wedding.
Now, I never was a one to go and skimp myself. Cos if I likes a thing, I likes it, that's enough. But there's lots of people say that if you likes a thing a lot, it'll grow on you and all that sort of stuff. Now, I likes me drop of stout as well as anyone.
The bride and
although,
the groom!
Don't you know it's supposed to make you fat? And there's many a lordy dawdy madam who wouldn't dare to touch it, cos she says it spoils her figure, the silly cat. Well, I always hold with having it if you fancy it. If you fancy it, that's understood. And suppose it makes you fat, oh, don't worry over that, cos a little of what you fancy does you good. Now, once a year I likes a little holiday. And we always have one, my old man and me. But the last time that we had one, he sprung up a new idea when he saw the ladies bathing in the sea. He says, now what a man requires is a change of everything and how he ought to take his holidays alone. You know, away from everyday affairs.
Very likely.
If you want a little fortnight on your own. Well, I always hold with having it if you fancy it. If you fancy it, that's understood. But if that's your blooming game, I intend to do the same. Cos a little of what you fancy does you good. I suppose it makes you fat. Oh, don't worry over that. Cos a little of what you fancy does you good.
You can't sing that to her.
She fell asleep after the first verse. I'm sending my audience to sleep.
They gaze into a cot.
Oh, look. I think she's got my nose.
Oh, Percy, you shouldn't even joke about things like that.
Mari grins and winks at the audience with her arms open wide. She grins at the audience on another night in a black dress and large feathered hat, holding a cane. A headline reads, Mari Lloyd takes London by storm. Another reads, everyone wants a little bit of Mari Lloyd, and her shows are proclaimed sold out. Yet another newspaper notes that Mari is the biggest earning star of all time. Now, Mari's singing in a pub.
If I could pick up the Acme Road and put it over there, I'd like to live in Paris all the time. I'd like to live in Paris all the time.
She spots Percy and finishes her drink.
No. Just one last song.
Mari, I've got to say I've got one more. Come on.
Oh, one last song.
Come on.
Oh,
one more. Come on.
Oh, go on.
Just one last song.
Yeah. Right. Same again for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
its own. Every little movement tells a tale.
Looking unhappy, Percy puts his hat on and leaves. Later, he smokes a cigar as he reclines in a seat, enjoying the company of two young women. The man in the top hat sings.
As I walk along the border of Boulogne with an independent air, you can hear the girls declare he must be a millionaire. You can hear them sigh and wish to die. You can see them wink the other eye at the man who broke the bank at Monte Carlo.
The man prances through the smoke of the club and joins some men playing cards at a table.
He must be a millionaire. You can hear them sigh and wish to die. You can see them wink the other eye at the man who broke the bank at Monte Carlo.
The man deals a hand of cards. Now, Percy pauses at the doorway of the bedroom at home. Leaning against the open door, he takes in the empty room. He drops his hat onto the still-made bed before bumping into the foot of it on his way to a chair, which he slumps down into. Appearing in the doorway, Mari sees Percy and walks slowly into the bedroom.
Where have you been? I waited for you.
I couldn't get away. One song turned into another. You know where he is.
She sits on his knee, but seems to smell something.
Gardenias. What are you smelling a perfume for?
Do I?
Yeah, you do.
Tired.
I don't care if you're tired. Where have you been, Percy?
Nowhere.
Then why'd you reek like...
Look, I can go out if I want, can't I? A few little drinks at a gentleman's club, that's what gentlemen do.
But when I'm paying for it?
Oh, well, lucky me, the famous Mari Lloyd pays for her husband to dine alone.
Don't talk to me like that.
Shut up, you're my wife. I can talk to you any way I want.
No, you won't.
Shut it! I'm your husband. Show me some respect. There's no excuse for it. No, there ain't. I'm in charge. Now, let's go to bed. I'm tired.
Percy releases his grip on Mari's throat. On stage, she sits swinging on a crescent moon.
A little bit of love is a luxury. That's what people say. And girls just want a little bit of love at the close of day. Now there's nothing like a little bit of loving if you take it in a quiet sort of way. So just take my...
Percy and Mari climb the steps of a swank-looking establishment. Percy goes inside, while Mari waves to photographers. A uniformed bellboy.
Have you used your table, Mr. Lloyd?
Courtney. The name is Courtney. Use your table.
Percy is shown to one of the restaurant's tables. As Mari comes to join him, a nearby female diner takes notice of her.
We fit in perfectly, don't we, Mari? No one would think you were common, would they?
It's not cool to see in public. Where's Freddy?
You're not coming.
Why not?
Because I thought we would have a night on our own.
Would you be so kind, Miss Lloyd?
Of course.
Come in and have one meal without being followed by swarms of Mari Lloyd admirers.
Mari smiles at her admirer, and despite his obvious discomfort, she signs something for him.
You're welcome.
She then gives Percy a hard stare.
Now there's nothing like a little bit of loving if you...
Mari gets up and walks out of the restaurant. Percy takes out one of his cigars and lights it from the candle on the table. Mari swings from the crescent moon.
Some just take my tip. If you're asking for a bit, never mind what people say.
As glittering dust sprinkles down on Mari from above, the spotlight fades and she swings on in darkness. Now she's in her dressing room with Freddy.
Tell me you love me, Freddy.
I love you.
And stop looking so cross.
Look, I don't want you going on stage drunk.
I've got a natural tolerance to champagne. I was born to bathe in the stuff.
If he makes you unhappy...
I don't deserve to be unhappy, do I, Freddy? I'm not unhappy. I'm happy. I'm as happy as happy as happy.
Good.
A dancer wearing fairy wings and holding a wand moves across the stage on points. Mari takes to the stage. She's dressed in a silky Bo Peep outfit and carries a tall crook. She holds a hand to her temple as if in search of something. While the fairy dancer leaves the stage, a man dressed as an old woman joins Mari.
Don't you hello, Mother Me. Where have you been, daughter?
I've been peeping.
Peeping? And what have you been peeping at, pray? As if we didn't know.
I've been peeping at little boy Blue.
As the dancer works her way backstage, she passes Percy, who's smoking a cigar on some stairs. The two exchange glances, and Percy follows on behind her.
Like it here, Mother.
It's far too cold.
What a terrible crowd. I don't know where it's coming from, but I know where it's going. Say hello to your grandmother, daughter.
My. What big eyes you've got, Grandmother.
All the better to see you with, my child.
What ears you've got, Grandmother!
Freddy sees Percy having sex with the dancer.
What a big tongue you've got, Grandmother!
All the better to eat you with, Marky!
On stage, a comedic chase is taking place. A man leaps in front of Little Titch, who's dressed as the wolf, and dispatches him with a blow from an axe.
My hero!
Oh, my beloved!
Oh, my goodness!
£50? Christ, what's he been buying? The crown jewels?
Well, that's shoes, jewellery, underwear. Your husband knows how to spend, Miss Lloyd.
Swan and Lily, that's a lady's outfit, isn't it?
Very select.
So many pairs of silk stockings.
Finest silk. Only the best for Mr. Courtney, Mum. Yeah, but these bills do need settling.
Right. Follow me.
A wardrobe.
Here. There's his suits for starters. And here are his shirts. And here are his scarves. And down there are his shoes. And over here are his diamond tie pins and cufflinks. And if that don't cover it, he'll be home sometime in the morning, I expect. I suggest you call him for yourself. For a man with such fine taste. He always comes home smelling a cheap perfume.
One other thing. Would you mind? Oh. For the missus.
Yeah, of course.
Queenie.
Mari signs the autograph.
Much obliged.
Pleasure.
Now, Percy's at his gentleman's club, where he drinks from a topless woman's shoe.
I'm Burlington Bertie. I rise at 10:30 and Buckingham Palace I view. I stand in the yard while they're changing the guard, and the Queen shouts across to
the top-hatted singer sits amidst the debauchery of the club.
Slaps me on the back and says, come and see, Mother. But I'm but, and royalty at When they ask me to dine, I say no. I've just had a banana with Lady Diana. I'm Burlington Bertie from Bow. I'm Burlington.
Drunk and groggy, Percy dips his nose into a champagne glass while the drinking and sexual cavorting continues. Next, Mari's comforting her daughter in the bedroom.
I love you. I've only ever loved you. Let's start again. Another chance. Look, I've been seeing someone tonight who can make you a real star.
I am a real star.
Yeah, but only in this country. I'm talking about the world.
Percy, go away.
It's all right, sweetheart.
Open the door!
It's all right, darling.
Please, boys, come on, let me through. Come on, please. Come on, we've got a show to do. Come on, Mr. Lloyd.
Leave the lady alone. We've got a show to do.
When you get with your mask, Mr. Lloyd? Mr.
Lloyd! A series of newspaper stories. Mari's husband a drunk. Mari's nice boy turns bad. And a picture of Mari with the caption, "Are you happy, Mari?" A stage magician. He makes a rose disappear into thin air. The top-hatted man, then Mari arriving in the wings with little Titch and Dan.
I can't do it, Dan, not tonight.
Of course you can.
You must, Mari. How can I go on stage and entertain when they've all read about me in the papers?
So what's the great Mari Lloyd going to do, run away and hide?
Show them nothing can hurt you.
When they see you've stopped smiling, they'll stop smiling.
Go on, Mari.
Mari turns to see the magician taking his bows. Hesitantly, she heads out and takes her place behind a stage curtain. Still uncertain, she looks back at her friends one more time.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you your own, your very own, the one and only Ms. Mari Lloyd!
The curtain rises and Mari beams at the audience. She's wearing a bawdy black number and has a long cane which she thumps down on the stage.
Is everybody happy? I said, is everybody happy? I know what you're thinking, and it's shocking, ain't he, a devil? How can he do this to our Mari when she's such a lady? Well, there's only one thing I've got to say to my husband, Mr. Percy Courtney, and it goes like this.
Hold your hand down, naughty boy. Hold your hand out, naughty boy. Last night in the pale moonlight I saw you with a nice girl in the park. You were strolling full of joy, and you told me you never kissed a girl before. Hold your hand.
To Percy in a tea room.
Milk or cream?
Cream.
Sugar?
Stop playing daft.
It's you being daft, dragging our names through the dirt.
Yeah, you love the publicity.
Not this salt. Biscuit?
No.
Please yourself, I'm sure.
Look, Mari, I need you.
Why do you need me, Percy?
Because I...
Well?
I just do.
Well, give me one good reason.
Look, you know, I love you.
Oh, do I?
Yeah, of course I do. I married you, didn't I?
And we know why, don't we? Because I was your big investment.
Yeah, well, I've got nothing, Mari, nothing.
Do you want to know why you've got nothing, Percy Courtney? He's got no money because he gambled it all away.
Shut it.
For a short time, though, you were lucky, weren't you? Eh? You had a winning smile and a winning hand.
Mari, please. What am I going to do? Murray, help me.
I don't give a raspberry tart.
Raspberry tart?
Fart!
Oh, good Lord.
Without me, you'd be nothing.
No. Without me, you are nothing.
Murray meets Percy's icy stare, and he goes.
Some people have little or no decorum.
I've got bloody decorum.
And you told me you never kissed a girl before. Hold your hand down, naughty boy.
A newspaper headline. Campaign to close the halls. Then a protest banner. Protect virtue. A headline reads, Murray Lloyd told to clean up her act.
She has taken musical to a new low. And to hear her talk of nothing but kissing and hugging and tipping the wink is nothing short of filth. She is a strumpet.
She is an entertainer and uses the milieu.
No, she has taken musical to a new low, and in a Christian country, we must make a stand.
There she is.
A Christian country, Miss Lloyd, with morals.
I don't give a damn what you and your high and mighty ladies of society say about me. In fact, keep on saying what you want, because the more things you say, the fuller the houses are.
I think they're jealous. Their husbands obviously prefer you to them.
Oh. Now, the lady protester, Mrs. Chant, and her followers are in the theatre as Murray takes to the stage dressed in full Britannia costume. She poses extravagantly, then blows on a horn. Murray winks at Mrs. Chant as she turns to reveal a pair of Union Jack bloomers. Murray beams widely, and Mrs. Chant turns to Belafonte.
I shall have the last laugh, Mr. Belafonte, when I close your musical down.
Later, Belafonte waits for Murray to come off stage.
The Vigilance Committee, Murray. Mrs. Chant has taken her case to the Vigilance Committee.
So what?
If they rule that your act is immoral, they could close my hall down.
Immoral? What on earth do you mean?
Lewd.
Mr. Belafonte, I've never had a lewd thought in my life.
You'll do your best to convince them otherwise, won't you, Murray? Promise.
Am I?
Now, Mari's dressed immaculately as she arrives to meet the Vigilance Committee.
Terribly sorry I'm late, gentlemen. Oh, Mrs. Chant, good day to you.
Miss Lloyd.
How can I be of assistance?
As you know, Miss Lloyd, your lyrics are causing a stir, and we have had complaints.
Really? I can't think why. Would it be possible for you to tell me which particular lyric is causing offence? I merely aim to entertain, not to offend.
Most of them.
Pray tell, Mrs. Chant. Specifics.
Well, what's that a little of what you fancy supposed to be about?
Well, it's always been a belief of mine that a little bit, not too much, of what one fancies is a good thing. My dear mother, for example, loves a dandelion and burdock, but I don't advise that I drink it by the gallon.
Very laudable. Will you please submit your song lyrics?
Dear!
She passes the man her sheet music.
Do you think my dress is just a little bit...
People like to see a fine gown on a woman, don't they?
Quite. There is the question of you showing off your...
My drawers.
In red, white and blue.
It was the King's birthday. It was a special occasion.
Very patriotic, I'm sure.
It won't happen again.
I hope not.
She sits amongst the cabbages and peas.
An innocent song about a lady who sits in her vegetable garden. How can it be anything more than innocent?
I think you know, Miss Lloyd.
So do you suggest that I change the particular vegetable selected?
Well, I suppose one would substitute.
Yeah.
Very well. She sits amongst the cabbages and... leeks?
Miss Lloyd!
What? And there's the nub of it, gentlemen.
Perhaps it's in the imagination of the audience and not in the intention of the performer.
Thank you, Miss Lloyd. You'll be informed of the committee's verdict.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'm sure you'll pass the right motion.
Mari's wearing a fine pink outfit with a wide-brimmed hat as she sits on a swing on stage. Four dancers in top hats parade around her.
Up to the West End, right in the best end, straight from the country came Miss Maudie Brown. Father acute it, but couldn't endure it. That's why the lady's residing in town. 12 months ago, her modest self felt quite sublime. To sit on a fella's knee was beating all the grime. If you should want a kiss, she'd droop her eyes like this. But now she droops them just one at a time. Every little movement has a meaning of its own. Every little movement tells a tale. And when she...
Alec Hurley's watching from the wings as Mari swings back and forth.
There's a kind of wibble wobble, and she glides like this. And the Johnny's following her trail. Cause when she turns her head like so, something's going, don't you know? Every little movement tells a tale. Cause when she turns her head like so, something's going, don't you know?
The dancers remove their hats as the number comes to an end. Alec applauds, and Mari swings on, laughing. Later, she spots Belafonte shaking hands with a young man backstage.
Evening, sir. All on your own time. All the lovely ladies to yourself, then.
You should be ashamed of yourself charging a shilling to peep at these girls.
Who's it arming?
Well, it ain't arming your pocket, that's for sure.
You do well enough out of me.
But they don't, do they? Hardly enough to feed their children.
Well, if they don't like
no
it,
no wonder
not...
there's talks of strikes. Here, girls. You make sure you have a drink on me this evening, all right? It's all right, darling.
Mari Lloyd to the rescue again.
Get these people out of here, Freddie.
Come on, you lot. Haven't you got homes to go to?
Alec.
You're not frightened of anyone, are you?
Well, I'm not frightened of Belafonte, but I'm scared that you're not going to invite me over the road for a drink.
How about tonight?
Or maybe we should be getting home, eh?
Or maybe you should be minding your own business. I'd be delighted, Mr. Hurley.
Chuffed, Alec goes.
I'm only thinking of you.
You're not my moral guardian.
You know, I hate it when you're in one of these moods.
You hate me?
Your moods.
What moods?
Well, you're the only person in the world that matters.
What are you doing here, Freddy?
I'm sorting out your clothes.
You're here because I'm employing you, Freddy.
No.
That's what you're doing here. I've spent my whole life looking after you.
That's a lie.
Be quiet.
No, I've spent my whole life looking after you.
You just don't want me to be happy.
No, I don't want to see you making another mistake.
Well, go then. I don't need you.
You do.
How dare you think I need you?
Want me to go?
Yes, go.
Freddie does so, and Mari suddenly looks upset. She sits for a long moment, lost in her thoughts. Now, stage lights come on, and Mari appears in the audience watching Alec perform.
She's my lady love, she is my dove, my baby doll. She's no girl for sitting down to dream, she's the only queen Laguna knows.
She winks and smiles at him.
She likes me, I know she likes me, because she said so, she is the lily.
She kisses a handkerchief and throws it to him. Alec takes a bow. Later, he sits with Mari in the back of a horse-drawn cab.
You meant what you were singing tonight, didn't you, Alec?
I did.
I could tell. There was a sparkle in them eyes, and it weren't caused by the stage lamps, was it?
No.
What caused it?
You know what caused it. You did, as always.
Things you say. Really?
Alec nods, but he seems uncomfortable, and Murray takes his hand.
What's up, Alec?
You made me shiver when you held my hand.
You need a pair of gloves, darling. I'll buy you some from Simpson's.
Well, I don't need gloves to keep me warm.
What do you need? No way. You're an old rooster, aren't you?
Old Faithful, more like.
I could do with some of that right now.
Me too.
Percy Courtney said he would love me forever. Don't let me down, Alec, eh?
Never.
They kiss. A lawyer.
Well, I'm sure we can come to an amicable arrangement, Miss Lloyd.
Why does it need to be amicable? I'll give him £2,000 for 3 years.
But, Miss Lloyd, these matters are complicated. There's the issue of custody, the house.
Those are my terms. Take it or leave it.
Miss Lloyd, please, stay.
I'll take you.
Oh.
Good day, sir.
Murray goes, leaving Percy looking sullen.
She looks old.
Yeah.
And fat. Oh. Still, nothing lasts forever, does it?
The man in the top hat holds a newspaper that announces Murray Lloyd marries.
Murray Lloyd does it again.
Alec brings breakfast in bed.
Oh!
I love these slippers.
Oh, Alec, you are funny. How can anyone love slippers?
I don't know. I just do. They feel right. It's just like you and me in this house together. That feels right too.
Yeah.
We're going to have a lovely little life together.
Little? Where's my champagne?
I thought this morning, tea.
Tea's for old ladies.
We're not getting any younger.
Alec, you were born 100.
We could walk on a heath today.
I thought we could work on a double act.
Eat your egg.
Disappointed, she takes a spoon to one of her eggs. A newspaper headline reads, Strike.
Fair deal for artists! Fair deal for artists! Fair deal for artists!
I want the world to know that I'm with you, people. They can bully you, but they can't bully me. So together, we shall be indestructible.
Murray poses for a photograph.
What does Murray think she's doing, Alec?
Well, she won't be talked out of
it. You know this strike's spreading. Two more halls in Shoreditch have gone dark. She's going to drive us all out of business.
I know, sir, but...
Look, what kind of man are you? She's your wife. Tell her! Make her obey you!
Later, Frank to Murray.
He's blaming me for not controlling you.
What does he think I am, your dog?
I told him that's easier said than done.
If it wasn't for me, those girls would be crushed and back at work humiliated.
Hmm. Yeah, but you've made your point now, though, yeah?
It's not about making a point.
You'll run out of money at this rate.
It gives me pleasure.
Yes, but are you doing good to make yourself feel better with his strike?
What are you suggesting, Alec? That we cave into Belafonte and his like?
No, of course not.
The word cancelled is pasted over a poster for one of Murray's shows. A music hall leaflet reads, Empty London theatres left in the dark. Belafonte watches a man brushing the stage of his empty theatre. Belafonte looks about the place, thinking to himself.
Tell me, ask Miss Lloyd to come and see me, would you? One newspaper has called you a saint.
Oh, how nice of them.
I'll pay you £100 a week if you break the strike and go back to work.
Don't talk silly. I'm not a blackleg, Arthur.
No, but you don't seem to mind betraying those who helped you climb to the top in the beginning, do you, Mari?
It's the public who make you a star, dear.
And it's the managers who pay you handsomely for that privilege.
You only pay me what I'm worth.
And you are worth everything. You shouldn't sully your professional reputation. Especially not when there's an invitation to perform before the king. I mean, we all want you topping the bill at the royal command, but...
Are you attempting to blackmail me, Mr. Belafonte?
Not at all. I'm appealing to your better nature.
I will not cave in to your demands. The public like me, and His Majesty, I am sure, is quite aware of that.
I'll take it that's your last word on the matter.
Mari looks defiant. In a bar.
Minimum performance rates for all of you! Is everybody happy?
Yeah, hey.
Thank you, Arthur. All is forgiven.
Forgiven, but never forgotten.
Franks with Mari as she pours herself a glass of champagne at home.
I just think, as my wife...
Oh, be quiet, Alec. Just be quiet.
I was merely pointing out...
I know. I should be drinking tea.
Should we go for a walk?
No.
I was trying to be pleasant.
Then, as with everything else, you're failing, I'm afraid, Alec.
Alec begins to walk off.
You'll end up with no one.
He goes, leaving Mari staring out of a window, lost in her own thoughts. Later, she's looking solemn as she sits at her dressing room table in the theatre. She picks up the velvet-bound book from the table and undoes the clasp on it. Inside, the rose that Percy gave her is pressed between the pages. She smiles slightly as she gently touches it. The man in the top hat appears at the door and very slowly closes it. Mari turns at the sound of the door shutting. She gets up and goes to see if there's anyone there, but is greeted only by the sound of the audience's applause. She listens to it for a moment before returning to her seat. Her face, reflected in her mirror, wears a sad and lonely expression. Freddie opens a front door.
Freddie? First little tiff and you run off, never to be seen again.
Mari?
You said you'd always look after me.
I thought you...
I knew you'd be missing me.
He looks at her and smiles despite himself.
Hello.
Backstage at the theatre.
The famous Mari Lloyd.
The famous jockey.
Having bowed, the young man walks off with a smile.
Bernard Dillon, the Derby winner.
And what's he doing, eh?
Making a personal appearance. What?
You're a married woman, that's what.
Mari heads off in Bernard's direction with a mischievous smile on her face. On stage, dancers perform a horse riding routine.
If you'll be a sport and join the classy sort, you must copy country squires chasing foxes in the shire. Get your hunting gear.
Bernard steps onto stage. Then Mari puts in an appearance as well.
Hunting after dark through the streets of London town.
Yikes, a coy little maid I spy, and look how she winks the other eye.
My, what shall I do, all alone here in the park? It's nearly 10, I'm scared of her, hunting after dark.
You're so naughty.
Oh, where do we go afterwards?
Afterwards? This is afterwards. It's past midnight.
I thought you theatricals were always up all night.
Now, we need to keep our strength up, don't we, Alec? And I need my beauty sleep.
You don't need any beauty sleep, Mari. Trust me.
Frank looks furious as the party leaves the restaurant. Mari and Bernard are still laughing.
Night, night, Bernie. I don't want to hear any tales of naughtiness tomorrow.
Think of me, won't you? Because I'll be thinking of you.
Drive on.
In a cab.
Well, what now?
It's always having to draw attention to yourself. It's undignified.
Undignified, is it? Oh, Mr. High and Mighty. What's dignified then, you?
I know how to behave.
But you don't know how to have fun, and that's the difference.
You're a married woman.
Yes, but I'm not dead.
You're starting to disgust people. Can you not see that?
No, I disgust you. Everybody else loves me.
I wouldn't be so sure.
Well, you think they love you? You think they're interested in what you do? No one would have heard of you if it hadn't been for me.
For what it's worth, people had heard of me.
They clap your act because you're married to me. They clap out of respect. For me.
Maybe we are a mistake.
Stop the carriage! Stop the carriage!
Frank watches as Mari climbs from the cab and walks away.
Walk on.
A newspaper headline screams, "Scandal." Bernie Dillon and Mari Lloyd embrace.
You are watching me tonight, aren't you, Bernard?
I'll wait for you at Romanov's. Where's the champagne?
Get another one from the bar, darling. Tell him it's for me. Kiss?
Bernard kisses Mari on the head before he goes.
You do like him, don't you, Freddy?
Yeah.
Why are they being so horrible about me in the papers?
Well...
Why?
You're supposed to be married.
Hardly. Alec Hurley was a little mistake. Surely I'm allowed to make a mistake.
They like Alec. They haven't taken to Bernard.
They don't know Bernard! They're being cruel about him to get at me. Still, you like him, Freddy. That's the main thing.
Mari bursts into Belafonte's office.
How can there be a Royal Variety performance without Mari Lloyd on the bill?
His Majesty doesn't want you. It's nothing to do with me.
Well, who's it to do with then?
If you want to take it up with the King...
Is it because of the strike?
Among other things.
I was coming to the aid of my fellow performers. I was being honourable, and for that I'm condemned.
It's not just the strike, though, is it?
Well, what else then? What else could it possibly be?
You read the newspapers.
Idle tittle-tattle.
It's not, though, is it?
I am the most famous musical singer in the country.
They say he is young enough to be your son.
They used to call me a saint.
To perform before the King of our country, the artistes must have an untarnished reputation.
And what reputation do I have? Show me the list.
Does it matter?
I want to see the list of performers.
Mari snatches it.
Alec Hurley.
She flings the list back at him and strides out. Now, Mari and Bernie dance to a gramophone record. They seem a bit unsteady and are holding a bottle between their clasped hand.
Alec Hurley!
The King is an ass!
If Alec
right, Hurley, is to perform before the king, I would refuse any invitation that came my way in here.
Exactly. Well, my mother used to sing me this song when I was little.
Here. Do you think the king is jealous of me? I mean, I am more popular than he. I'm the queen of music halls. I am the people's queen.
Mari has an idea.
I am going to do a Mari Lloyd spectacular on the night of the Royal Cabal performance.
I'll be there.
Everybody will be there.
In a bar.
Listen up, people. On the night of the King's Royal Cabal performance, Miss Mari Lloyd will be holding her own performance at the Pavilion Theatre, Piccadilly Circus. All right? Tickets on sale from Monday at reasonable prices. Everyone is welcome. Is everybody happy?
At the theatre.
Do you think I've gone too far?
The Evening News says you're out of touch with ordinary people. The Daily Mirror calls you conceited.
People like royalty, don't they?
It's not the king who's the problem. It's living with Prince Charming here.
When it comes to it, the working classes are just as moral as anybody else, Mari. I liked Alec.
And they like you for being you. Once they think you're someone different, you've lost them.
But I am different. I always have been.
Yeah, but they mustn't think that. Once they think you're Lady Mark living with a bit of flash, you're done for. You need to show them that underneath all the diamonds and furs, you're still one of them.
Mari's about to go on stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Mari Lloyd, Queen of the Halls, gives her own command performance.
The curtain rises to reveal Mari in modest working class clothes and carrying a bird in a cage.
We had to move away, cause the rent we couldn't pay. The moving van came round just after dark. There was me and my old man shoving things inside the van, which we've often done before, let me remark. We packed all that we could pack in the van, and that's a fact. And we got inside all we could get inside. Then we packed all we could pack on the tailboard at the back, till there wasn't any room for me to ride. And my old man said, follow the van and don't dilly-dally on the way. Off went the car with me unpacked in it, and I walked behind with me old cock linen. But I dillied and dallied, dallied and dillied, I lost me way and don't know where to roam. Cause I just popped in, so I'm a little drop of gin, and now I'm home.
A standing ovation. The audience is full of smiling faces, and she acknowledges the applause with nods of her head. Soon, she's hugging Freddie backstage.
There he is. Can I tell you about it? What? Mari Lloyd is back.
Triumph.
I was looking out for you. I couldn't see you.
I was a bit late, so I was just at the back.
Oh, you saw me?
Of course.
We must celebrate. Got the biggest table at Romanov's. In fact, book the whole of Romanov's. I want everybody there.
Right, join you later.
What do you mean, Bernard? You're coming now, aren't you?
Yes. Well, later. I have to just... bit of business.
You mustn't let them see you drunk, you naughty boy.
I need to go and see someone.
Not this time of night.
Can I have some money?
What do you need money for?
You're happy to give everyone else money, just not the man you're supposed to love.
Oh, but I do love you.
They kiss.
Give me some money.
Will do.
Thank you. And I'll try and see you later, if I can get away.
The man in the top hat.
A little bit of love is a luxury. That's what people say. And girls just long for a little bit of love at the close of day. Now there's nothing like a little bit of loving if you take it in a quiet sort of way.
Bernard sits at a table with some men, losing at cards. Mari accepts a helping hand from Freddy into her dressing room. Later, she sits on her bed, looking sorrowful and unhappy.
Never mind what people say.
The man with the top hat has a knowing look about him as he stands with his back to Mari. Bernard's being forcibly ejected from Romanov's.
I'm famous!
He puts his hat on and staggers off along the pavement. Mari awakes to find Bernard going through her jewellery boxes and pocketing her necklaces.
Why are you taking my things? You can't treat me like this, Bernard. Come to bed.
No, I've come back to change. Lend us some money.
Don't go out again. Please. Stay with me, please.
Stop worrying. You know I always come home to you.
Promise.
He gives her a lingering kiss, then smiles at her.
Lend us some money?
No.
He hits the headboard.
What'd you make me do that for, you old cow? Look at my hand. I'm bleeding. It hurt. It bloody hurt.
I'm so sorry. Look, lie down here with me. We'll make it better together. There. Mario, take care of you. Mari always takes care of everybody, don't she?
Bernard tears himself away.
You're old, you're drunk and you're ugly.
Bernard goes, and Mari falls back onto her pillow, weeping. Now, Freddy stands ready to attend to her, as she arrives at her dressing room at the theatre. He gently removes her fur stole from her shoulders. Then Mari takes off her rings, one by one. Freddy pulls out a hat pin and takes off her wide-brimmed hat. Mari removes her earrings next, while Freddy undoes a pearl necklace, allowing her to set it aside. Mari takes a seat at the dressing table. She looks at the pressed rose in the velvet-bound book again, before wiping the lipstick from her mouth.
I'm very fond of ruins, and ruins I like to scan. You'd say I'm fond of ruins if you saw my old man. I went out in the country for a stroll the other day.
Dressed in her working class clothes, Mari clutches a bottle as she walks unsteadily through the wings of the theatre.
Tumbled all to bits. It seemed a relic of a bygone day. A gentleman said, "What is this?" I said, "Excuse me, sir."
The audience greet her enthusiastically as Mari walks out on stage. She seems genuinely drunk, though, and struggles to stay upright.
A bit of a ruin at Cromwell, not about a bit. In the gay old days, there used to be some doings. No wonder that the poor old Abbey went to ruins.
Fred is watching from the audience.
A bit. And you can bet your life there isn't a doubt of it. Cos outside the Cromwell Arms last Saturday night, I was one of the ruins at Cromwell, knocked about a bit.
And Mari's becoming increasingly groggy.
And you can bet your life there isn't a doubt of it.
She falls to her knees.
Outside the Cromwell Arms last Saturday night, I was one of the ruins at Cromwell.
Finally, she collapses onto the stage. Freddie gets up out of his seat as some audience members peer at Mari's still figure through opera glasses. A shape appears out of the glare of a spotlight. It resolves itself into the man with the top hat. He places a single red rose on Mari's shoulder and doffs his hat. He steps away and disappears into the light again. Makeup containers, perfume bottles, and other paraphernalia on Mari's dressing table. The extravagant white feathers from one of her hats, a box of ornate hat pins, and some brushes. The footlights burning at the edge of the stage. Then, Mari herself. She's struck a pose in one of her black music hall outfits and holds a cane as she smiles broadly.
Is everybody happy?
You bet your life we are.
She winks before turning to walk away. The curtain's coming down on her as she disappears into the dimness. Mari Lloyd died on the 7th of October 1922. Some claimed she was poisoned by mercury she was taking to treat syphilis. Her friends believed she died of a broken heart. Over 100,000 people lined the streets to watch her funeral procession.